It's been a little more than a year since President Trump won the White House, and hundreds of posts in the administration remain unfilled. Of the 600 key positions requiring Senate confirmation, more than 250 have no nomination at all. And there are plenty of other positions that don't require Senate approval that also remain vacant, including in the area of science and technology. For a closer look at that, let's go to our weekly guide to the world of tech, Recode. Tony Rahm is senior editor of policy and politics at Recode. He joins us. Hi, Tony.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, what are the key science and tech positions that don't have any nomination at all, and how important are they?
Yeah, you said there are about 200 of those positions throughout government that have no nominees. And when it comes to science and technology, there are about a dozen of them for which the president hasn't put forward any names. And they span positions in government that touch on everything from nanotechnology to cybersecurity to privacy and even to regulation of some of Silicon Valley's biggest companies like Facebook, Google, and Twitter. And when you talk to folks in the tech industry, they say that the absences have slowed down this administration's work on top science and technology issues, and it's ultimately resulted in little oversight of Silicon Valley as well.
But President Trump has said that he wasn't intending on making a lot of appointments because, as he put it in a Forbes interview, you don't need them. So should we be surprised that there are so many vacancies?
We shouldn't be surprised. I mean, there are two ways to cut government. One way is to slash it by spending less, and another is to simply not fill key roles in the White House and throughout the administration. But it's important to point out that with some of these positions, there's a requirement that they be filled. That includes the Office of Science and Technology Policy, which is basically the nerd nerve center of the White House, so to speak. There, the president is supposed to maintain a top science advisor. It's written into law that he has to have that science advisor, but President Trump has put forward no such candidate, and as a result, his administration is lacking in some of that science expertise.
There are some positions where the delay is actually because of the Senate, like the heads of the Federal Trade Commission and the head of NASA. Who did President Trump nominate for those, and why is there a delay?
Yeah, with the Federal Trade Commission, or the FTC, the president has put forward three names: Joe Simons, who would be the Republican leader of the agency, Noah Phillips, another Republican, and Rohit Chopra, who's an ally of Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren. But technically, President Trump has not sent those names in a formal way to the Senate, which is a rather wonky way of saying that the Senate can't start debate and ultimately have a vote on those nominees. Its hands are pretty much tied. And with NASA, it's a bit of a different story. Trump has put forward Congressman Jim Bridenstine from Oklahoma, a Republican, to lead the U.S. government's space agency. But a lot of lawmakers were very upset with his nomination, and they grilled him at a confirmation hearing just a few weeks ago. Their big concern was that Bridenstine's position on social issues and things like climate change would annoy a lot of NASA engineers and cause a lot of them to leave government for the private sector because they didn't share his controversial beliefs.
So, Tony, you're joining us from San Francisco. What is the relationship like at this point between Silicon Valley and the White House?
Yeah, I asked one of the Trump administration's few tech aides, Reed Cordish, this very question on stage yesterday at a conference here, and he stressed that, you know, the relationship is still fine, that they can walk and chew gum at the same time, that even though Silicon Valley often is critical of this administration, sometimes on issues like immigration or climate change and whatnot, that they can still work together on things like modernizing government, which is a thing that helps the U.S. government improve its relationship with citizens and also helps tech companies sell more of their goods to Washington, D.C. So the big message from the White House is that things may seem tense, but actually below the surface, they're working together on things.
Another big story in the world of tech I want to ask you about, which is that Bill Gates has reportedly invested $80 million into building a smart city outside of Phoenix. What do we know about this?
Yeah, it sort of sounds like a nerd Silicon Valley wonderland, so to speak. But Bill Gates and one of his investment firms has put forward money to create an ideal smart city outside of Phoenix, Arizona. And the thinking is that with this money, they can build from scratch a futuristic city where there are self-driving cars and ultra-fast, high-speed internet and, you know, city lights and other forms of infrastructure that can do things that maybe human beings were doing, maybe better law enforcement, maybe less pollution. They're really looking to try out a bunch of ideas that maybe would have been too difficult to do by taking a current city and, you know, investing millions of dollars there.
Is Bill Gates the only one in the tech world who wants to do something like this?
Certainly not. Google is another one. They have an entire outfit called Sidewalk Labs that is investing money towards figuring out a smart city, and they're doing their work in Toronto. But really, this is not an inevitable thing. The technology isn't there yet in some cases, like with self-driving cars, and Americans' attitudes are another matter entirely. Maybe Americans aren't necessarily ready for this kind of smart city, but the goal of these experiments, whether it's Bill Gates or somebody else, is to begin testing that out.
All I can think of is the Truman Show. I guess if they start putting cameras in these smart cities, it just sounds a little too planned, but we'll see what happens. Tony Rahm, senior editor of Policy and Politics at Recode. Thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.